Yes, we're very excited about this event. I mean, it's quite a milestone for us to be awarding our 100,000th engineering degree.
When did you all find out that this was going to happen?
Well, I will say it really wasn't on our radar until very recently. I asked my development officer to tell me a bit about the number of degrees that we've given over the past since we've begun awarding degrees.
Which would have been when?
Our first degree we've learned was awarded in 1880, and it was a civil engineering degree. 1876, of course, was the start of A&M.
I can't do the math fast enough, but certainly it's not going to take that long to get to 200,000.
No, it certainly won't. I certainly hope not. What I was really interested in was how many degrees we'd given in specific areas. So, of course, we started with, I'd say, foundational areas such as mechanical, civil, and moved into more specialty areas, petroleum, electrical, computer engineering over the years. So I wanted to see the balance between the types of engineers that we'd produce. When we pulled this information together, we found that we were pretty darn close to 100,000. And so, and realized that this spring we would be awarding that 100,000 degree. So we decided it was a point to celebrate. We've done some amazing, engineers have done, contributed amazing things to society, certainly in the state and the nation. And we felt it's time to step back and reflect a bit about the contributions of those first 100,000 before we begin our quest to reach 200,000.
And how is the selection process of who is receiving the 100,000th?
So what we did is we determined how many degrees we had awarded to date. We evaluated the students who will be receiving their diplomas on tomorrow, actually tomorrow at 7 p.m., and we knew we had a certain number to actually meet to hit that 100,000 engineering degree. We use the graduation data as of May 1st, we have identified an individual who will be announced as the 100,000th degree recipient at the event, at the actual graduation ceremony. He will not know, he or she, that he is the one who will be receiving that special diploma. However, I think he'll be pleasantly surprised.
Is this going to be like the selection of a valedictorian, or how much more goes into this?
No, it basically is the individual who will be graduating, who will be receiving the 100,000th engineering degree. So just based on where you line up to receive your degree.
Sequential in nature, then.
Correct. Uh-huh.
The next thought that came to my mind when I learned about this was, you know, it took X number of years to get to 100,000, but because of the 25 by 25 initiative, the 200,000th will come much more rapidly.
Yes, it will. We like to think about the students who will be receiving degrees tomorrow will be able to come back and identify and celebrate the 200,000th degree recipient when their grandchildren are graduating. So we anticipate perhaps 30 years or so we'll be seeing that 200,000 degree recipient walk across the stage.
I'm starting my fifth year here, and for all the things that are going on at A&M, I've taken about a handful of things of particular interest, and the College of Engineering is one of them, if for no other reason, 25 by 25, and then the related item of the engineering education complex, what a huge investment that is going to be. Have I missed a groundbreaking, or has that been set yet?
No, we'll be breaking ground for this new building most likely in January, this coming January. We've had tremendous success fundraising from our former students. We have very generous former students who've helped us a great deal to move toward this goal of creating the largest academic building on campus. I believe our former students are very excited about having an academic building devoted completely to undergraduate education. That's important for our 25 by 25 initiative because we're transforming the way we educate engineers. So without this new kind of educational building that will allow us to teach students in different ways, we can't achieve 25 by 25. I mean, our guiding principles are threefold. One is to truly transform education, particularly technical education. Second is to increase accessibility of an engineering degree for the citizens of Texas. And third is to do so in a cost-effective manner. We can't meet the second two principles, the second, third principle, without achieving the first, which is transforming engineering education. And that cannot be done without a facility such as this.
If you would remind for our listeners who may not be aware of 25 by 25, that's 25,000 engineering students by the year 2025. And what's the current number or the projected number for this coming fall?
Well, I know what we are today. We don't necessarily have all the projections because we really don't know how many students will be graduating in the summer. But today we are at 13,363 students. And we do know that in the fall we are going to expect 3,000 engineering first-year students. And this is significantly more than we've had in the past. We found a couple of things that have happened. One is the demand for our degree, again, is at a record high. And second, our yield is up. So more students who were accepted into our program chose to come here. So that means our numbers are higher. What we also have seen, which is very interesting, is associated with our numbers being higher, we found that our SAT scores are up as well. So many people don't consider the fact that you could actually increase quality as measured by SAT scores by increasing the student number as well. So we've been watching very carefully because we want to make sure that the quality of our programs remains strong. And one way to assess that is determine who are the students who've been accepted and will join our program. And we're excited. We'll have more students. We'll have qualified students, and we'll be implementing a very exciting new educational program.
And that really has to excite your faculty and researchers, knowing that not only is the quantity up, but so is the quality.
Yes, I think it's exciting to everyone. Again, there have been some assumptions that we would have to change our standards somewhat to admit more students in terms of quality and the metrics by which we accept students, and that hasn't been the case. We've also made a change in the way we admit our students. For example, in the past, we have admitted students into departments. So a student coming to A&M in engineering could major immediately in civil engineering. This year we're trying something new and something I believe will be a great advantage and a help to our students. We're not accepting in the departments anymore. We're accepting into the College of Engineering. This allows our students to have more time to think about what kind of engineer they would like to become. They come to campus, they have a year to investigate the different types of engineering, to become comfortable with the subject matter, and then they select an engineering major. I will say that oftentimes we see students change majors when they arrived. I believe last year 42% of our students changed majors. So a number of students coming into the A&M program have mentioned to me that this was one of the reasons they chose A&M. They would have the extra time to make an informed decision about their career.
How many different majors?
Right now we have 13 departments with 15 different degree options.
What else for our listeners, particularly in Bryan College Station, who may not have a direct relationship or may not keep their thumb on what's happening in the College of Engineering, that is the good news out there, and what's exciting you and those that are working as a faculty and researchers?
Well, I think what we're doing now is very exciting to us, is really establishing a stronger connection with industry. We've had a strong connection with industry, particularly in the area of workforce development. Certainly hundreds of industrial representatives come to campus every year to interview our students and look for the very best to join their company. What we're doing now, though, is look more broadly at encouraging and enticing industry to come in and partner with us in many ways, not just hire our students, but to become involved in education at the beginning, at the first year, and actually provide students with real-world examples. The other area is through research. We are talking to a number of companies about potential for moving small R&D operations here. When we start thinking about the numbers of tenure-track faculty that we will be hiring over the next decade to teach all these students of 25 by 25, then I believe companies, and they are, interested in College Station in ways they may not have been in the past. In other words, this College Station's in Bryan. It definitely is the place to be in terms of technology development, and really economic growth. And so we're very excited about that. We also have a new program called Professor of Practice Program, where we are bringing individuals back to campus, hopefully many of them former students with perhaps 15, 20 years of experience, to give our students the opportunity to learn from those who've been very successful. And it really falls into the two categories that we're thinking about. One is bringing the real world into the classroom, in other words, teaching students about what to expect in the real world, and to do that through laboratories in this new building. But the other is taking the classroom into the real world, allowing students to learn outside of College Station Bryan. An excellent example of that was our recent experience with Jeff Gordon and his Texas A&M engineering car that was running the Sprint Classic in Fort Worth. And you may or may not know, we had a 12-man pit crew. These were 28 students who were selected through a competition. And these students were allowed to join Jeff Gordon's pit crew for discussions, to talk about the engineering aspects of the cars and certainly what changes could make them faster and safer. And this was a fantastic opportunity for our students to learn outside of the walls of a classroom. And we're embracing that a great deal as well.
That was also a great example of maybe breaking down stereotypes of what one can do with an engineering degree or why one goes to get an engineering degree.
I think that's right. In fact, it was interesting. Jeff Gordon mentioned that a decade ago he most likely had maybe two engineers on his team, and now he has close to 20. So that's really a transformation. And what's interesting, too, is that we had a few aerospace engineers involved in the 12-man pit crew, and many people wouldn't think about aerospace engineering as contributing somehow to NASCAR. But when you talk about Lyft and you talk about one of our students mentioned that it was designing a car for Jeff Gordon would be like designing an airplane flying upside down. The fact that you certainly don't want lift on a racetrack. So it was really interesting to me to see how engineering prepared our students for so many different things and so many different careers. And that's been of interest to us in many ways. There's been a quote recently that engineering is the liberal arts of the 21st century. The whole idea that engineering can be a foundation for many careers, not just a technical degree, management and business and medicine, law, really any career can be, I believe, enhanced through an engineering education at the undergraduate level. So,
and I sort of see that already happening, and maybe it's happened for a long time within your college, that you don't stay with blinders on. You try to make as many different applications as you can.
Yes, and we're talking now about how do we have a joint program with law. I mean, to actually think about a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering and have an integrated Bachelor of Science in Engineering law degree now that we have a law school. We're discussing that with medicine as well, business as well, thinking about dual BS degree programs and business and engineering. These are just ideas we're throwing out there, but I'll be honest with you. We often talk about the silos in engineering and the fact that we don't often give students in different disciplines the opportunity to work together. And I will tell you, these students are knocking down those silos. Faculty are a little behind. So our students are demanding that we give them opportunities to broaden their educational experience, and we're going to do it.
Well, and I think that reflects in the number of students that you have and are expecting to have.
Yes, yes, and their interests. These are different types of learners, and they grew up with iPhones, and they tend to multitask a lot better than those of us who came around to iPhones later in life. So it's a different group, but they're unbelievably talented, smart, and very ambitious. And I certainly am very comfortable with my retirement in their hands.
Well, it sounds like that you're happy what you're doing and where you're doing it.
Absolutely. It's great fun. Great team to work with. Wonderful upper administration at this university. We are poised for greatness, and I know we'll get there.
Not only poised, but it sounds like you're acting on being poised to make sure that gets executed.
Yes, we like to think so. We're very pleased with where we are. We have so many exciting new initiatives, all of them connected with 25 by 25 at the graduate level, the faculty level, industry relationships, new research projects, new laboratories linked with the research projects. I mean, I cannot think of a better place to be right now. It's all happening here.